This hour by Frederick Remington, fully cooked, ready-to-eat bacon. Exclusive, no refrigeration, 10-year extended shelf life bacon. The thickest media center-cut bacon in the industry at fullycookedbacon.com.
Welcome to the Gun Owners News Hour with your host and Executive Director of Gun Owners of America, Larry Pratt.
Well, thank you for joining us here on this edition of the Gun Owners News Hour. Today, we want to look at a kind of a big subject, and I'm just hoping that we're going to do it some justice. But David Kopel has written, I was thinking of calling it a magnum opus, but that would mean that he doesn't really have anything else forthcoming. So let's just put it this way. He's written a really definitive work, the title of which is The Morality of Self-Defense and Military Action, and it deals with the Judeo-Christian tradition. A lot to say in that tradition on the subject. David, thanks so much for what you've done. It's really impressive to have something like this available for the Second Amendment community.
Well, thank you. It was a long project. It took me about 15 years to between the idea and the publication.
I'm glad to hear that you don't say that, oh, yeah, I had to settle down in about 6 months and it came out. No, this is a big deal. You really did a lot of scholarship and you boiled it down. And I think it's a very nice, coherent message that starting with the Old Testament in the Western tradition, you've got the idea that aggression that tries to take life can and should be met with sufficient force to stop it. And if that means the death of the aggressor, even though that may not be the initial intent, but if that's what it takes to stop him, so be it, and there's no harm. And I think you pointed to the number of the verses and traditions in the Western thinking that made it pretty clear that this is not a pacifist tradition in the Christian West.
That's right. The Christian West does have a minority pacifist tradition in it, and which is doing very well these days. But, you know, probably bigger than it has been for a long time. But so I wouldn't say somebody with a pacifist, you know, who's a pacifist has a view that makes them no longer really a legitimate Christian or something like that. But it is the minority argument, and the reason it's been the minority is because the stronger argument, not only in the Old Testament, but even from the New Testament, is on the side of unselfishly using force to defend innocent people.
Yeah, one of the favorites, I think, is the verse in the New Testament where Peter pulls out his sword, which, as you correctly pointed out, and I hadn't really thought about it, means that it was could have been hidden. There are other references where that certainly would be the implication. Anyway, he uses his personally carried weapon of the day to repulse an illegitimate arrest being made of Christ in the garden. And while Christ stopped it there, pretty clearly, and I think you handled that the same way I would have looked at it for some time. That was a unique experience. There aren't too many occasions in human history where the one who came to die to pay for the sins of all who believe in Christ that was about to go to the cross to accomplish that mission. The rest of us, somebody's threatening our life, we are quite justified in using what force we can to save life.
And well, yes.
So,
and
yeah.
Jesus in the garden, as you said, it was a unique circumstances. Jesus also, you know, every time he got into an argument with the Pharisees, he ended up winning it. So if he'd made a legal defense of himself, he might have come out of that in good shape and then, you know, prevented his execution. But he chose not to. But that's not a binding rule on all Christians, that you can't defend yourself in court when the government's got you up for a capital crime. And likewise, you know, Jesus also remarks to the Roman soldiers, you know, why are you being so, you know, basically forceful in this arrest? You know, if I wanted to, I could pray to my Father and get legions of angels who would come down and knock you guys off pretty rapidly, but I'm not doing it. I'm going peaceably. So,
in fact, as he greeted the, if that's the right word, as he spoke to the temple guards that were coming in to arrest him, and I imagine there had to be some Romans with him, they said they were looking for Jesus, and he said, "I am he." Well, and of course, in the Hebrew, that's a pretty powerful thing to say, because he was basically saying, "I'm God." And when he said that, they all fell over backwards. And what has always amazed me is, then they got back up and arrested him. Huh? They must learn pretty slowly.
Yeah. So, as you said, so it doesn't mean that the Christians can't, who are being persecuted, can't pray, even though Jesus, when he was being persecuted, chose not to pray for a rescue. And, of course, what he told Peter was who was carrying concealed and illegally, because there was a ban on it was prohibited for Jews to possess swords under...
He ought to be the patron saint of American self-defense.
Yes. And Jesus says, put your sword, you know, as we're talking about, Jesus was not resisting the arrest because he knew it was part of the plan. And he tells Peter, put your sword back in its sheath. Well, that's like saying, put your handgun back in its holster.
Yeah.
It's, don't use it right now, but it's not saying it's illegitimate to have it. If indeed, put your sword back in its sheath, presumes you're going to be walking around carrying your sword in its sheath, using it at proper times, which is, after all, what Jesus had said at the Last Supper in Luke. If you guys who don't have a sword, sell your cloak and buy one. You know, making the point not mainly about self-defense, but more broadly, that after Jesus was no longer around to lead them in person in a earthly temporal sense, they were going to have to take care of their own needs and be responsible for themselves and their food and everything else.
It clearly was so many different ways of, when we look at this whole issue. Christ was telling his disciples, this is a pretty unique moment in human history, fellas, and it's not going to be replicated. So when you're on your own and I'm no longer here, see to it that you don't give way to evil. In fact, there's a proverb that says, for the righteous to give way to the wicked is the same as a murky spring or a polluted well. Not something recommended in Scripture.
Right, and there's the people who argue that the Bible proves in a irrefutable textual sense that pacifism is correct will say, well, look at the Sermon on the Mount where Jesus said, resist not evil. Well, you have to look at that in context. It doesn't mean that, you know, when you're being tempted, you know, to commit adultery here or, you know, embezzle from your company so you can go on a gambling spree, you should not resist that evil temptation. Of course you should resist that. It's a more it's meant in a more metaphorical sense, rather than being written as a literal legal code.
And part of that not resisting is, say, if you're smacked on the cheek, well, that was typically, as in the South, then in biblical times, that was a statement that I'll see you for the duel. We're going to have it out, mortal combat. And that's not something that Christ was saying you should be doing. Let yourself be insulted was really, I think, what we're supposed to take away from there. Not that this is a license to kill. You're not involved in self-defense. Defending your honor is not the same as defending your life.
Exactly, and then as you said, it's the slap on the cheek is in the Hebrew culture of the time an extremely serious insult, but that's got nothing to do with that. That's about your honor, in that society. But it's not about a life-threatening attack on yourself or your family.
Well, my guest today is David Kopel, K-O-P-E-L. He's the author of a really magnificent course of intellectual history, if you want to, you ought to study this instead of the books I studied for that curriculum. The Morality of Self-Defense and Military Action. We'll be back shortly.
It's a no-brainer. A Big Berkey water filter is the one you need, period. You need a water filter that removes chlorine, fluoride, pharmaceuticals, BPA, and other endocrine disruptors, pesticides, bacteria, viruses, and much more, right? And does it all at only 2 cents per gallon. Get the original, most trusted name in gravity water filtration, Big Berkey. And now GCN listeners receive 5% off ceramic filter systems using code GCN. Call or click 1-877-99-BERKEY or BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. That's 1-877-99-BERKEY.
If you're a sleep apnea sufferer who's on the go to your phone. Because if you give us a call right now, you'll be able to try the world's first portable mini CPAP device absolutely risk-free for 10 restful nights. It's the Transcend Mini CPAP, an engineering marvel that's as small as a soda can and weighs less than a pound. Its unique design is so small and so light, you can fit it in your briefcase or purse to use anywhere you go. No more dragging around a big, bulky CPAP. Even better, now you can try Transcend absolutely risk-free for 10 restful nights by calling minicpap.com, 1-800-441-9833. Transcend is FAA compliant too, so you can even sleep comfortably while flying. You can also add a battery pack that's as tiny as a deck of cards. So now you can enjoy the freedom to sleep comfortably anywhere. But don't wait. To receive your 10-night in-home trial, call minicpap.com now. 1-800-441-9833. That's 1-800-441-9833.
Ralph, remember when you said you were going to start paying more attention to your health and now you're eating potato chips?
Just a few.
A few, okay, but you should be eating Superberries Aronia Berries.
Aroni what?
Aronia Berries from superberries.com. They're known for having one of the highest levels of antioxidants that helps with overall wellness. Go to superberries.com/radio. And right now we get a free smoothie recipe book with our order. Plus we can save $4 at checkout.
Wow, look at all the benefits of these berries.
I know, Ralph, I know.
Choose health. Eat purple. Superberries.com.
Be prepared for the next disaster with the Shelter Pod. The Shelter Pod is a large, all-season, heavy-duty, quick-deploy shelter. The Shelter Pod system can be set up in 30 seconds and includes an emergency medical kit, water filter, survival tools, and more. Are you prepared to take care of your family? Do you have everything in one place ready to go? Get it now or enter to win a complete Shelter Pod system at shelterpod.com. The Shelter Pod at shelterpod.com. Shelter when you need it most.
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business. So make sure that they create a positive impression with ReputationDefender.com. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with ReputationDefender.com. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771 for your free Reputation analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issues, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with ReputationDefender.com. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771. Or visit ReputationDefender.com.
Anytime, any place, anywhere. Radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Welcome back to the Gun Owners News Hour, exploring a wide range of Second Amendment issues. Here's your host, Larry Pratt.
As I mentioned going into the break, we were talking about the book, The Morality of Self-Defense and Military Action, the Judeo-Christian Tradition, by David Koppel. This is a book that would have done me a lot better as the main text for my graduate course in intellectual history rather than some of the Marxist drivel that I had to deal with at that time. And David, you've really given us, I think, a terrific tool to understand how we got to where we are, and in particular, perhaps, what the founding fathers had in mind. These were guys who typically got their thinking from Scripture, and they certainly had a notion that self-defense was both something that was right personally, and it kind of informed their view of government, that government was subservient to God and to the people. In fact, I kind of made a little chart, as simple as it was, God, people, rulers, to show the hierarchy of the way things ought to be in a properly structured regime. In fact, I saw that one time. I was in the Philippines, and I was in the office of the head of the army, a General Isleta, and I complimented him on having a slogan, like a bumper sticker, up on the wall behind his desk that said, "Jesus is Lord." And he said, "Oh, yeah, that's the chain of command. You notice who's right underneath it." Well, it was the president of the Philippines at the time, Corazon Aquino. And then there was some identification of General so-and-so Isleta, Commander-in-Chief, Philippine Armed Forces. And I thought, that is amazing to hear a military man put his position in such a hierarchy. And it clearly comes out of a Christian tradition to have that understanding of how the government and the military are limited.
Yes, and the what the founders were thinking about was something that goes back all the way to the book of Samuel in the Bible, where the Hebrews having had a sort of democratic confederation for a couple hundred years, or giving up on that and want to have a centralized monarchy, and the prophet Samuel warns them about why that's going to be a bad idea, and all his warnings come true not long after. But they say, no, we still want to have a monarchy. But even then, the point is that the monarch's power comes from the people. And, you know, then the broader Christian view is, for example, Paul's letter to the Romans in chapter 13 of Paul's letter to the Romans, is Christians, you should be obeying governments because they're put there by God for your own good. And the founders agreed with that in general, but they also, in keeping with 700 years of Christian teaching, going back to Pope Gregory in the about 1050s, said, but when a government gets out of control and is no longer ruling for the common good, but is instead ruling for selfish purposes or ruling to harm the people rather than to be their shepherd, then the people may have the duty to remove that government and replace it with a proper, legitimate one.
Well, I'm not familiar that much with Gregory's thinking, but I'm certainly aware that the American founding fathers would have also pointed to the first king of the northern part of Israel, and how he decided that he was going to be a tyrant. And he said, you know, it's going to be a lot worse under me than it was under my father. He put it in different words, but that's what he was saying.
My father chastised you with whips. I will chastise you with scorpions.
Yeah. Gee, what a nice howdy-do for the new guy in town.
Terrible inaugural.
Yeah, right. Didn't play well in the South particularly. Then yeah. That's when they said, we're out of here. And that, I think, gives us the idea that biblically governments, yes, are put there for our good, but if they're not acting for the good of the people, and they make an incredible statement like King Scorpion, then all bets are off. No allegiance is owed.
Exactly. And you know, you can trace this back as far as a guy named Mangold of Leutenbach about 1,000 years ago, who said a king who's ruling tyrannically, it's the same as a disobedient swineherd. You know, you hire a swineherd to take care of your pigs, fine, but if he's not doing it, You know, he's sleeping all day and letting the wolves eat the pigs or whatever. You fire him. And the same point with a king who rules as a tyrant. He's no different. He's just the agent of the true sovereign, which is the people. And they have the right to dismiss a disobedient swineherd or a disobedient king. And disobedience would be ruling as a tyrant.
Indeed. That is not something that tyrants want to hear. But it's so ingrained in American political thought and really a great deal of Western political thought. I think it's been preserved in a most robust fashion here in America, but there are people and leaders here and there throughout the history of the West that you can point to who had this understanding, and obviously a lot of rulers don't like it. What was King James's first bumper sticker, as it were? No king, no bishop, no king. So if you don't have a monopoly in the church, you can't have a monopoly of political power. And so
exactly.
This pressure for monopoly, it's not new. The fact that we've got people like Clinton and Obama pushing for centralized government sometimes obscures the fact that Republican Bush wasn't a whole lot better. It wasn't as obnoxious, maybe. But this is a constant battle that's being fought. And at least in our time, we don't seem to have much reference to biblical obligation. But we do have a constitution. And rulers don't like to hear that they're limited. They really get cranky when you start reminding them of things like
that.
Well,
and this is a big part of our heritage, is the battle between the English people in the 1600s versus the despotic Stuart monarchs, James I, Charles I, Charles II, and then finally James II, who gets overthrown in the Glorious Revolution of 1688. I mean, their view was, yes, I absolutely have a God-given duty to be a good king, but that's really between me and God, and Parliament and courts and the people, they've got nothing to say about that. I can do whatever I want in my own good judgment. And if there's any problem with that, you know, maybe God may get mad at me, and I'll try to be conscientious about that. But there's no control on me from below. And that's what that view was rejected by the English people in their Glorious Revolution of 1688, which was absolutely something that set up the spread of that idea in the United States in 1776.
Absolutely, I think was a key part of it. We're talking about the morality of self-defense and military action, the title of David Koppel's magnificent book on the development of this throughout Western thinking, Western history. The Judeo-Christian Tradition is the subtitle. We're going to be back and talk some more about this. Don't go away.
You've been hearing Dr. Wallach talking about 90 essential nutrients, keeping the body healthy. GCNteam.com now has Beyond Tangy Tangerine tablets, 60 plant-derived minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, packed in a powerful tablet. But that's not it. 160,000 auric points, a knockout punch to free radicals. Call 877-878-4203 or go to GCNteam.com. That's 877-878-4203.
Maybe not today, maybe not tomorrow, but soon you'll need a plan and place to survive. Forget bunkers. You're not a live underground gopher. You need survivalist camps, the ultimate fully functional, off-the-grid mobile survival bug out house that's well-equipped and custom-built to outlast any other RV or trailer. Bold statement, you bet. See them now at survivalistcamps.com. That's survivalistcamps.com. Trust your family's survival to survivalistcamps.com.
Have you racked up more than $10,000 in credit card debt? Are you barely getting by, making minimum payments? You should know. The credit card companies are tricking you into thinking there's no way out.
Credit card companies would rather you didn't know that there are ways you can become debt-free and you don't have to pay the entire amount you owe. There are debt relief programs that help people like you escape overwhelming credit card debt. National Debt Relief has helped tens of thousands of people just like you reduce more than $500 million of debt. National Debt Relief has helped so many people, they're A-plus rated by the Better Business Bureau. You don't have to declare bankruptcy or take out a consolidation loan. You have the right to settle your debt for a mere fraction of what you owe. Reduce a large portion of your debt now. Call National Debt Relief at 800-314-7417. 800-314-7417. That's 800-314-7417.
Have you ever thought you'd like to flip houses but didn't know how or where to get the money? Are you ready to be your own boss so you can start living the good life? Hi, I'm Preston Neely. I used to be so broke. I had my electricity turned off 9 times, but I figured out a way to quit my job and find financial freedom in real estate. For a limited time, I want to send you a free copy of my smash hit selling book, How to Get Rich in Real Estate. It shows you how to copy exactly what I did so you can make money from the comfort of your own home without even doing any manual labor. I've already given away 5,000 books and they're going fast. To get one before they're gone, call 1-800-958-6936. Listen, if you're sick and tired of stressing about money, this book could change your life. It's short, fun to read, easy to understand, and awesome. To find out how to get your free book while supplies last, call 1-800-958-6936. Call 1-800-958-6936. 1-800-958-6936.
Attention business owners and independent contractors. This is a money-saving message from Tax Mediation Services. If your business owes $20,000 or more in taxes, we can help you today, right now. Listen, dealing with the IRS is no picnic. It's an intimidating and extremely stressful process, and you don't want to go it alone. Our attorneys know every law, every tax break, and every possible opportunity to help you resolve and reduce your tax debt. And if you owe more than $20,000, you may be at the top of their hit list. So don't take your tax debt lightly, because it will not go away on its own. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, your home, and even shut down your business. Call our tax experts today at 1-800-765-9681 and let us deal with the IRS while you focus on your business. That's 1-800-765-9681. Again, that's 800-765-9681.
Welcome back to the Gun Owners News Hour, exploring a wide range of Second Amendment issues. Here's your host, Larry Pratt.
Our topic today is the morality of self-defense and military action, a really magnificent study of Western thinking from Old Testament times up till really rather contemporary issues on the same topic. Before I get into some of the resistance effort and the defense of the West against the Nazis, I was really fascinated to hear, I think her name might be Neuta Teitelbaum, a Polish Jew, a gal who must have been pretty good looking, and she smiled and sashayed and who knows what other charm she might have displayed through the Nazi guards to the commander of the SS where she was. She actually got in to have a private meeting with him, and it was about the last thing he ever did on this earth, because she put a bullet right where his heart couldn't work. And then she walked out. And apparently she continued her career of blowing up trains and bridges and things like that. Well, nobody has any doubt that what she was doing was justified, because we've kind of had a consensus developed that the Nazis were absolutely the core of evil. And there's hardly an objection raised to what Ms. Teitelbaum did in Poland to put an end to a Nazi commander. Probably terrorized the Nazi hierarchy for a week or two at least, took them off their game a bit, that something like that could happen. But overall, and I've seen this in other places, so David, you didn't make this up, the Allies weren't really that interested in the plight of the Jews. And we know that going back to World War I, Woodrow Wilson actually was quite the segregationist and undid the desegregation of the U.S. Armed Forces. When you get to Franklin Roosevelt in World War II, he didn't seem to have any burning desire to eliminate the Nazi tyranny over the Jews. And you made an excellent point, I think, that we missed in the West an enormous opportunity to fund and equip and to train a very willing underground through the Jewish resistance that was vibrant. And I had no idea there were as many places, as many concentration camps that had had uprisings by the Jews as there were. We had a tremendous asset, and it seems to me that a prejudice on the part of the Democrat leaders during the Second World War kind of blinded them to an enormous asset.
Yeah, whatever the reason was, and obviously Winston Churchill was not a Democrat, but so he's got some culpability in that too. For whatever reason, the resistance groups all over Europe got funding and arms supplied to them, and so when in countries where Jews were allowed to be part of the resistance, like in France, Jews in the resistance got their share of the arms that came into the French resistance, and Jews were only about 1% of the French population, but they were roughly 20% of the resistance fighters. But in the East, you know, in Belarus and Poland and the Baltic states, the national resistance, to the extent that it existed, wouldn't allow Jews in, and so Jews had to fight in separate units, and they never got any support from anyone. So whatever arms they got were the arms they could liberate by killing Nazis and then taking their weapons.
It a blindness born of a prejudice that probably cost a lot of Allied lives, because a very willing underground resistance was not given the help that it could have been given. And I think that's a shame. I guess one of the things that kind of redeemed the name Democrat in my mind was the mention that you made of Harry Truman, who, when discussing the issue of Jews returning to Palestine, there was a lot of resistance to that. And then when they got back, there was a lot of resistance to arming them, particularly among the anti-firearms policies of so many Brits. But Truman apparently was on record of saying, "I am Cyrus." Now, that presumes a modicum of biblical literacy to realize that it was the Persian king that sent these the Jews of the time back to Israel with their sword and their trowel to rebuild and defend themselves. That was pretty remarkable. Maybe I'm giving too much credit to Truman, but I thought that was a tremendous way to historically footnote what he was doing.
Absolutely, and Truman was with that understanding of how, as you said, the Jews from their original Babylonian exile were returned by the Persian, allowed returned by the Persian king Cyrus, and rebuilt Jerusalem. And Truman very much identified with Cyrus. The United States was the first country in the world to diplomatically recognize Israel within minutes, almost, of the same day that Israeli independence was proclaimed. The United States gave diplomatic recognition, and Truman did that on his own over great resistance from the U.S. State Department, which then, as now, tends to be in the hands of Arabists who don't want the U.S. to support the country in the Middle East that exemplifies U.S. values far more than any other country.
And then once you get beyond the Israelis in the Middle East and the Christian minorities that at least until the last few years before they started to get eliminated genocidally and pushed out into refugee status elsewhere, the Christian minorities were certainly people with whom we could have been working. And we've just been kind of blind to working with them, hostile to Israel oftentimes. The State Department tried to block the refugee status of a lot of these, I guess, Syrians and Iraqis. And it turns out a lot of the people that they wanted to come in were not the Christian population. So, yeah, there seems to be a decade-long tradition in the State Department that they want to help Muslims who are so often last heard as your throat is being slit, shouting, Allahu Akbar.
Well, there are definitely some like that, of course, and then there's a much larger number of Muslims who are persecuted by those people.
Absolutely.
The jihadis kill more Muslims than they kill of anybody else, partly because they're...
You will go along or we will kill you. Absolutely.
Yeah.
And that's how they kind of drive the whole of their country's politics, because they're just absolutely ruthless in the application of force. And, of course, we wouldn't think of seeking out those people and giving them arms, just like the British couldn't imagine giving arms to the Israelis at the time Israel declared independence in 48. It was just an amazing blindness that we seem to have, and our governments, particularly the Brits, but somewhat ours as well, seem to come down on the side of a disarmed people.
Well, which seems safer from the government's point of view at the time, but
yeah.
Which history tends to show is most can often be very dangerous. You know, back to the Holocaust. I mean, the reason that the Jews in Poland and the Soviet Union and in Germany, of course, had long been disarmed. By government policies. So many more would have resisted with arms, except it was impossible for them to have arms because of decades and centuries of gun control aimed at Jews and peasants.
Very good point, which you will see a lot developed in The Morality of Self-Defense and Military Action by David Copeland. We're going to be back and talk some more about his book after these messages.
One-third of FBI domestic terrorism cases involve refugees. One-third. There's already been riots across Europe. Is America next? Hi, I'm the owner of Infidel Body Armor. Over the past 4 years, I've sold thousands of body armor kits and trained hundreds of sheepdogs. They have prepared. Have you? I invite you to go to my website at InfidelBodyArmor.com and click on specials. Trouble is coming. Now do something about it. InfidelBodyArmor.com. Just won't quit.
Warning. If you're drowning in debt you can't afford, do not let the credit card companies trick you into thinking that you have to pay it all back, because you don't. What the credit card companies don't want you to know is that there's actually a way to get debt-free without paying off your entire debt or going bankrupt. If you have $5,000 or more in credit card debt, you now have the right to let us settle that debt for a fraction of what you owe. For free information, call Credit Associates now. 1-800-959-5759. We'll even show you how much money you could save. If you can't afford to pay off all your debt, do not let the credit card companies trick you into thinking that you have to. Call Credit Associates now for free information on how to get debt-free faster than you ever thought possible without debt consolidation or bankruptcy. We depend on your success and offer a guarantee, so there's no risk. For free information, call now. 1-800-959-5759. That's 1-800-959-5759. 1-800-959-5759.
Looking for that edge during those intimate moments? We see many ads for enhancement, but the side effects include death. At GCN Team, we should change the Healthy Body, Brain, and Heart Pack to the Healthy Libido Pack. The brain and heart are not the only organs that require a healthy vascular system. For proper blood flow at the right moment, go to GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. I'm here to tell you about GCNTelecare.com, a team of board-certified doctors assisting you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. Within 15 minutes of registration, care your family can afford. Revolutionizing the healthcare industry, virtual consulting, providing diagnosis of non-emergency medical issues by phone or secure video on computer or smart mobile devices. GCNTelecare.com. Virtual care anywhere.
Hi there, I'm Bob Eubanks. You know, as part of Hollywood for a long time, I've seen my fair share of celebrities get in trouble with the IRS. Well, there's one name I trust, the Tax Defense Group. They're the most trusted name in tax. So if you owe more than $10,000 to the IRS, you really need to call my friends at the Tax Defense Group. Ignoring the IRS is not the solution. They can garnish your paycheck, levy your bank accounts, seize your home or business. But the Tax Defense Group could put a stop to all of that and tailor a program that would reduce your tax debt to pennies on the dollar. You gotta love that. So don't just take my word for it. Call them. Find out for yourself. They offer a 100% satisfaction guarantee. And they're open 24 hours a day because they know that tax debt doesn't sleep either.
Call now for your free and confidential tax analysis from the most trusted name in tax. Call 800-361-6907. 800-361-6907.
We use cell phones against our heads every day. But now, a landmark U.S. government study confirms increased health risks from exposure to EMF radiation emitted from these devices. The time to protect yourself is now. The solution is Defender Shield. Proudly made in the USA, Defender Shield blocks virtually 100% of EMF radiation emitted from cell phones, tablets, and laptops. Buy now at DefenderShield.com. Use discount code DEFENDER for 10% off. DefenderShield.com, the worldwide leader in EMF radiation protection.
Welcome back to the Gun Owners News Hour, exploring a wide range of Second Amendment issues. Here's your host, Larry Pratt.
Welcome back to the discussion that I'm having with author David Koppel. He has written a really definitive work on the subject in the West, our tradition going back to Old Testament times of the morality of self-defense and military action, the Judeo-Christian tradition. And if you want to see where the mainline Western thought has run, this is the book that is going to lay it out. And the ideas that are put forth by Christian pacifists doesn't necessarily mean they're not Christian, but it sure shows they are majorly wrong. And they just have kind of cherry-picked and twisted some text to try to get things to come out their way. But it's not, they don't have a good biblical case to make, and David has shown how that is. And then if you look at our own history, religion played a tremendous role in the settlement of our country. It's why so many British English colonists came to America, was seeking the ability to worship the way they thought was correct, and it was being discouraged, to say the least, by the Church of England. And finally, at the time of our War for Independence, a British writer and thinker, Horace Walpole, I just love this, He commented that, well, it looks like Cousin America has run off with a Presbyterian parson. The Presbyterians having been perhaps the most articulate about limiting government and showing that government can be illegitimate, that government can be seditious, something that Aquinas had pointed out back in the so-called Middle Ages. Horace Walpole was telling his fellow Brits, well, guys, it looks like we lost this one, and we lost it on religious grounds.
Exactly, and as the book details in the chapter on the American Revolution, that was a revolution that was very much incited by what were called the Black Regiment of the, especially the preachers in New England. And by the way, when Walpole was said about Cousin America and the Presbyterian parson, people like Walpole, you know, the high end of the Church of England, would they were using Presbyterian in more than the strictly denominational
right.
sense. I mean, to them, a Baptist or a Congregationalist was also in that broad category of
one of them Bible thumpers. One of them Bible thumpers.
Well, one of those Protestant dissenters.
Exactly.
And the point was, like we were talking about earlier, is that once you have the principle that God's the boss and not the government, then the principle of the right of resistance to tyrannical government in Western intellectual thought grew most of all out of the fact that, well, what if the government orders me to do something that God says is wrong? You know, commit adultery, for example, or not worship God in the way that God says he's supposed to be worshipped. That's the clearest conflict between who's the real authority. And so from the idea that you can resist government when it's directly telling you to violate God's law, that's the basis that then leads to the understanding that government is based on contract and consent, and when government gets out of control in general, that the people have the authority to remove it. And obviously, a key part of that is you do that with the least force possible in a prudent way. So in a democracy mm-hmm. like we have, you don't engage in political violence. That's wrong and immoral, including in the views of all the people who thought the American Revolution was absolutely justified, because we have a means of working within a nonviolent means of working within the system today in the United States.
And just to add on to that, at the time that violence was resorted to by the colonists, they had made numerous over years petitions to the Crown and Parliament to, hey, guys, back off and live within the terms of the colonial charters, of Magna Carta, of what we now call the British Bill of Rights. Live within these limits, because if you don't, you're becoming the tyrant. And the arrogance of London was such that they were, too many of them were unwilling to listen to that. And they ended up shooting at our guys, and to their horror, we shot back. That was not something that mere subjects were supposed to do, and I guess that was one of the ways we reinforced the notion that, well, of course, we're not subjects, we're citizens, and citizens carry arms. And that became a very significant dividing line between us and folks on the other side of the Atlantic.
Oh, absolutely. And that was one of the surprising things from the British military point of view, is they thought that once things came to a confrontation, the Americans would be a bunch of rabble who would be pretty easily dispersed by the redcoats, you know, sort of like a bunch of drunks in rioting and some.
And my reading, by the way, of the Battle of Lexington, except that they weren't drunks, would kind of conform to that unorganized, easily overcome, because it was just maybe a dozen guys or so there on Lexington Green, and after a volley on both sides, they kind of melted away, but they didn't go away.
No, and then the British marched on to Concord, where they were turned back at the Concord Bridge, and then as the Paul Revere and others had spread the alarm, and the alarm was continuing to be spread throughout the countryside, when the British then tried to march back to Boston, they were harried the whole way by Americans coming out with their own arms and sharpshooting at the British. And in fact, the British would have been wiped out on the road back to Boston if the Americans had not begun running out of ammunition and the British hadn't been rescued by a relief force that marched out of Boston.
You know,
and that really changed it for everybody, is that the American, British had fought and marched out to confiscate guns in Lexington and Concord, and armed Americans had made the British worse off than they were before.
having an adequate supply of ammunition can be really pivotal, and we see it not only here, as you've just pointed out, that we probably could have left very few men to get back on the boat in Boston to sail back to England, but the Warsaw Uprising probably came to its ignominious end because they ran out of ammunition, and as you point out, they didn't have the tradition, I guess we could call it, of making your own ammunition. We've got thousands of Americans that spend hours melting lead and putting it into molds and then putting it into casings and making their own ammunition.
That is legal in every state in the country, and that's a it's an important national defense capability, among other things, that if any part of the United States fell into hostile hands, which seems unlikely now, but, you know, one thing the 20th century shows is don't be complacent. The country is immune from trouble. That there would be behind an invader's lines people who would have the capability of manufacturing ammunition to supply to the resistance behind the enemy's lines.
And that just ruins the enemy's whole day. I think that if I've got my math right, the British lost about a quarter of their men the day following the skirmish at Lexington. By the time they got back, they were about, 250 men light. And that's just horrendous in any battle to lose that many. And this was a crack unit. This was not the boys from the slums of London. This was a unit that had some battlefield experience and had been trained. And it just had to be a blow to the pride and maybe the arrogance of the British military that was stunning, to say the least.
Well, they continue to think they could win the war with a professional army, but what they found ultimately was, they had the capability. Any town they wanted to occupy, they could take, but they couldn't put down the countryside, and they couldn't ever achieve control over the country as a whole, because when everybody's armed, or a lot of the patriots are armed, then you'd have to have a British force that was 5 or 10 times as large to be able to occupy the country effectively.
And that gets to be right impossible. Well, as you can see, we've not really exhausted the whole subject, but the morality of self-defense and military action, the Judeo-Christian tradition by David Kopel, is a key book, not only for American gun owners and Second Amendment advocates, but if you want to understand what it means to be a man of the West. Thank you, David.
Thank you for having me.
This is a warning to all household pests, to all cockroaches, spiders, ants, mice, and rats. If you've made yourself at home in someone else's home, you'd better hope the owners never hear about Terminix. Because Terminix has the know-how and the means to do whatever it takes to remove you from that home. Terminix has 90 years of experience eliminating home invaders. And they make it easy for homeowners to be protected by offering a free pest estimate by calling 1-800-686-1063. Cockroaches, spiders, ants, mice, rats, and other pests. This is your last chance. With one call, Terminix will remove you from the home you've invaded. If you think you can simply come back later, think again. Terminix will never stop working to keep you out with a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Pests,
wherever you are, I will find you.
Pests, you've been warned. Homeowners are calling Terminix right now for a free pest estimate. 1-800-686-1063. 1-800-686-1063.
30-day money-back guarantee at participating locations. Limitations apply. See plan for details.
Being self-reliant is about being prepared and to do what you need to have your own source of renewable energy. Portable Solar LLC offers the most powerful EMP-hardened solar system on the market that is transportable from place to place, and the best part, it's very affordable. Contact them at PortableSolarLLC.com or call for details at 972-575-8875. Sol Arc EMP-hardened solar generator, energy insurance for your family or business. Call Portable Solar LLC today or go to PortableSolarLLC.com to check out their patent-pending technology.
This is Dan Pilla. Do you owe the IRS money you can't pay? Are tax debts crippling you? I've defended people from the IRS for over 30 years. I've helped thousands, and I can help you too. I wrote the book on IRS settlement, and I'm telling you, there's no such thing as a hopeless case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX to finally get free of IRS debt. With the IRS's new programs, there's never been a better time to solve your problem. Call 800-34-NO-TAX That's 800-34-NO-TAX or my website, danpilla.com.